Christopher Ave is on the phone with me this morning. He's a political editor for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who was listening to the show a couple of days ago when I was talking to Alex Jones about his book, which is called Losing the News. We were talking about the changes in the news business, and particularly in the newspaper business, and Christopher wanted to talk about some of the things that Alex Jones and I discussed. Welcome to the show, Christopher. Nice to have you on.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Before we get to the newspaper issues, I want to put you to work as political editor and get your insight into what President Obama did last night on Capitol Hill.
Well, you bet. It was an interesting speech. On the one hand, I think he tried to sound conciliatory, tried to reach out and mention Republicans as well as Democrats. On the other hand, he really castigated some of the conservatives who have been opposing and expressing their fear about the plan. I think we saw some of the Republican lawmakers react negatively to that criticism. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, I think Obama feels like he and the Democratic Party need to pass a bill this year. And in fact, Joe Biden this morning was saying that they need to pass it by Thanksgiving. I think that's quite an aggressive and optimistic, perhaps, assessment.
Do you think the way the president was acting and the Republicans were reacting last night means let's forget about bipartisanship? We're just going to ram this thing through while we have the majority?
I'm not so sure of that. I think the White House is still hopeful of turning one or two Republicans, particularly senators, because there the margin is razor thin, particularly after the death of Senator Kennedy. So I think they still hold out some hope. I think that Obama has signaled that he is willing to discuss a plan that does not have the so-called public option of the government directly selling insurance. So I think there's still some hope for bipartisanship, but it didn't seem to get any easier last night.
I have a statement here from Senator Claire McCaskill, who says, after hosting town halls throughout Missouri, I think the president did a good job correcting all the misinformation that's been spread. And now with the stakes made clear, it's time to work on reasonable health insurance reform that will bring down the cost of health care, improve the way care is provided, and do it in a way that doesn't saddle our grandchildren with debt, et cetera. Typical kind of political stuff you'd expect out of Claire McCaskill. But she was one of those who was able to pull off the town halls this summer successfully and without too much controversy. Does she come out as a winner in this health care reform debate?
You know, I think it's an excellent question, Paul. I think largely she does. We had a reporter who went to a few of those debates, including those forums, including the McCaskill forum, and he noted in our paper and online that she seemed to be a lot more skillful than some others at if not diffusing, then at least handling the objections. You know, Senator McCaskill's got a great personality, and I think she used it effectively in those forums. But you know, I think the larger question is you mentioned, McCaskill mentioned in her statement, they want to reduce costs and then they want to extend coverage. And wow, doing both is going to be very difficult. And the president continues to say that one of his major goals is to reduce the cost of health care and health insurance. And I'm not sure that the Congress has come across a plan to do precisely that, at least not yet.
Where has Missouri Senior Senator Kit Bond been in all of this?
I think Kit Bond is firmly in the Republican right on this issue. He was quoted in our paper this morning as saying something to the effect of, you know, let's trash this thing and start over. You know, let's get some reasonable changes in the current system. And I think, you know, I think the majority of the Republicans are still saying that this is too much, too ambitious, and too, most of all, too expensive.
I love that Republican line because Charles Bustani, the doctor who gave the GOP response last night, said the same thing. This is one of the lines that they have. Let's trash it and start over, as if we haven't started over through six administrations so far. And, of course, when they say let's start over, what they mean is let's take out all the stuff the Democrats put in that we don't like and see if we can put through what we want instead.
Sure. I mean, I think that, again, is another sign that there remains a chasm between the majorities of the two parties, and it will be fascinating to see whether that chasm is bridged.
All right, let's talk about your business. As I mentioned, Alex Jones was on here with me a couple of days ago, and we were discussing the news business and how it has changed and the newspaper business. And I had some kind of harsh words for your employers at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, only because I'm disappointed. I've liked the paper since I moved to St. Louis a decade ago. I've been a reader every single day. But I've noticed lately, because of the economy and because of changes in the way news is delivered, that you guys have offered less products, not only in terms of pages per day, but also in terms of the news content of the newspaper, a lot less coming from your local staff and a lot more from the AP and Reuters, et cetera. I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that.
Well, thanks, Paul. First of all, thank you for being a reader. We appreciate that, and that's a great thing. Secondly, yes, the economy has done its damage to newspapers, to radio stations, to big box retailers, and on and on and on. So we are hardly alone as an industry in being affected by the economy. But I want to focus in on something that you said the other day, and again here just now, is the staff stories. You have seen a reduction in the size of the paper, and you believe that we're relying more on wire services and less on our staffers. And that I have to contest, if I may, Paul. We routinely have about, in fact, the average of the last 6 months, 75% of our stories that feel are the most important stories, the stories that we place on page one of the first section, 75% of those stories are written by our staff. On Sundays, when we have the most ambitious, the most in-depth investigative work, we try to target those kinds of stories to Sundays. 90% of our stories are generated by our staff. So to say that well, we're just pulling back and relying on wires, now that's not true. Now, let me quickly follow that up by saying...
All right, well, before you go and follow up, I got to say, I'm looking at the front page of the Post-Dispatch today. You got two big stories here on the president's speech last night, one by Bill Lambrecht, who's your Washington bureau chief and a terrific writer. And right next to it is a story written by three people from McClatchy Newspapers. You guys are not owned by McClatchy. They are the former Knight Ritter newspapers.
That's right.
And that's essentially somebody else's work that's not a Post-Dispatch piece.
Well, you know, that's an excellent observation. And let me explain that, because I think this gets to the heart of what we're doing. You know, in the old days, the newspaper in the town was the one-stop shop where people got all the news internationally, nationally, regionally, locally. That's where they went. Of course, they listened to their radio, you know, for some of their news, and television certainly has been around for a long time. But clearly, newspapers had sort of the corner of the market. That's no longer the case. If you care about a generic Washington story, if you care about learning what the president said last night, there are innumerable places that you can get that information. I mean, you can listen to it on the radio. You can certainly go online. You can look at Politico. You can look at the Washington Post, the New York Times. You can do all of that. So we are the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. What is our mission? Is our mission to be all things to all people? We can't do that. And we don't want to do that. See, we exist to serve the region, the St. Louis region. And so it was my call. I made the conscious decision to ask Bill to focus on our delegation, because we feel like, you know, Politico and Washington Post is going to tell you what the president said and what the Republican response was. Who's going to tell you what Kit Bond said? Who's going to tell you what Claire McCaskill said? Who's going to tell you what Carson Blunt said? I mean, on and on. That is the essential thing that we can deliver, and that's what we're focused on.
Okay, so are you guys now going to give up the national stuff to these other sources and become purely a local source?
I would say a regional source. I would say we're in Washington, D.C. We're in Jefferson City. We're in Springfield, Illinois. You know, we are still staffed those places. I don't know of any radio station that staffs those places. I don't know of any local television station that staffs all those places, but we do, you see. Why? Because we care about the news that most directly affects the St. Louis region.
Okay.
And that's really our mission, and it's important. I mean, again, you made a great observation. No, we're not writing the generic story about the speech. Why? There are 5,000 other journalists writing that story last night.
Yep.
You know, we decided to do something more relevant to our readers.
And I'm not arguing that you're doing anything wrong in that, because here I am working for KTRS. We're an ABC radio affiliate. We have guests on from ABC from New York and Washington and Dallas and all around the country. We talk to their reporters from all over the place on a regular basis. We use their resources. We talk to guests from all over the place as well. It's not all 100% locally created content here or on any other radio station either. My point is that this is one of the changes that the Post-Dispatch has seen forced upon you probably by the economy, but also by the changing economy of the news-gathering business, that people can get it elsewhere. So let's talk about the other aspect of that, which is the fact that you guys, while you have you're the number one newspaper in town, that has diminished in terms of subscriber base. At the same time, you also have the number one website in town, stltoday.com, which you're also trying to monetize as much as you possibly can, but that is not picking up nearly as much slack as you're losing on the print side, right?
Well, let's look at it in two ways. Let's look at it in terms of journalism. The problem is not the journalism. We are enjoying incredible success at STLtoday.com in attracting viewers and in breaking news. We're using video, in some cases live video. We have, I don't know, 30 or 40 blogs. You know, these are things that we were not doing 10 years ago. And so you say, well, gosh, the Post-Dispatch is retracting. Absolutely not. We are doing much more in terms of covering our region than we did 10, 20 years ago. It's just that it isn't all in that neat, you know, newspaper that's delivered to your lawn every morning. I mean, the heart of it is, certainly, but so much of it comes online. So absolutely, I mean, you mentioned that we're the number one newspaper in town and the number one website in town. Actually, we are by far the largest news-gathering organization in the area. In fact, I would wager that if you added up the newsrooms of all the radio stations and all the local television stations, they wouldn't come close to the number of journalists that we have. So, mm-hmm. So I mean, it's quite a responsibility. I'm certainly not trying to brag. It's just that we are a 24/7 news organization now. You know, it used to be in the old days when I got into journalism, you know, that you sort of gathered your information and by 4 or 5 o'clock you decided to start writing. It's not that way anymore. When news breaks, we have to put it online immediately, and probably grab a video camera and shoot a video, or do a blog, or do a live online conversation. So there's so many ways that we're covering the community that we didn't do in those days of yore, when the paper was thicker, admittedly, but the platforms were much fewer.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris talking with Christopher Ave, who is the political editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. How has the company been doing in converting the success of STLtoday.com into enough of a revenue source to supplant the lost print advertising?
Well, my job isn't to generate revenue specifically, so I have to add that caveat. You know, there are many in our company smart people who are working on that. I mentioned the problem isn't journalism. I do think we have a business problem. The number one issue is the economy and the recession that some say we're climbing out of. You know, when advertisers don't advertise, you know, that is our number one source of revenue, just as it is for a radio station or television station. So that does affect our bottom line, absolutely. We do sell ads on our website, some of that revenue certainly is making up for some of the lost revenue from the newspaper. But, you know, not enough. And so what we have to do is be innovative. We got to be creative. We've got to think of new ways, new products, new things we can do online that are going to attract advertisers and sponsors and whatnot. And, you know, it's a process. I mean, I'll be honest, it's not easy. And as I say, we have some smart people working on those problems. I'm confident that we're going to survive and thrive. But at the moment, in this economy, things are tough.
Well, you know, broadcasters have the same problem. We've been giving away our product on the air for all these years in an advertiser-supported community. Mm-hmm. And we've now are giving it away online as well as podcasts and other information on websites. And the problem there is, once again, monetizing that content in that format and that distribution method in a way that you can make any kind of money, whether it's above and beyond what you make on the radio or the TV or in print or elsewhere. That's the new economy that you have to find a way to deal with. The new media reality is that people are using content on their own time, on demand. They want to know what's happening now, or they missed an interview a couple of days ago, or they want to go into the archives and find something. They want it to be free, and they want it to be easy to find. So we have to provide that for them, but at the same time, find a way to pay for it and make it worth the time to hire the staffers to produce that content and make it available for those people to get on demand. And you guys are faced with that same reality, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Paul. I mean, the key issue here is, you know, we've got to figure out the business side. We've got to figure out the revenue. Why? Because society really needs good journalism. I mean, think of all the things through the years that we as a democratic society have learned just because of journalists. I mean, from Watergate on through in recently here in St. Louis, you know, our paper broke the whole relationship between the police department and the towing company and all the improper and apparently illegal ties there. You know, these are things that, you know, Google is not doing. They're not covering these things. We are. And so there is a cost to democracy when journalism suffers. And, you know, we're trying like the Dickens to figure out how to continue this mission, that's so important to society in today's current economic climate. And, you know, that's our mission, and we welcome it.
Well, as you heard me mention Alex Jones the other day, I lament the loss of print reporters because, as you say, you guys have the largest news staff in town. You're the ones who are out there covering a lot of stories that later become fodder for what I do for a living. And frankly, for a lot of the TV stations, for the newscast that they're putting on there later, they're following your lead as well. A good newspaper is always the news leader in any town. And so when the newspaper gets dented, banged up, diminished, or reduced, I lament that.
Right. I would simply add, I mean, I thank you for saying that, and I certainly agree the newspaper should be sort of at the center of the community conversation. We should be leading that conversation, and in St. Louis we still do, and we're very pleased and happy about that. But let me say, you know, just because the newspaper is physically a bit smaller than it used to be, that doesn't mean that we're dying on the vine. Check out stltoday.com, and you will see an amazing amount of content and news, and, you know, people are working, as I say, literally around the clock to provide that. And, you know, that's something we're proud of, too.
Christopher, I appreciate you coming on and spending some time with me this morning.
Well, thanks so much, Paul. It's been a blast. You're doing a great job on the Big 550, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Christopher Ave, the political editor for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.